Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spiritual Engineering Radio, building extraordinary relationships with your show hosts, Thomas and Patricia Strausser. This will be an uplifting hour filled with information, inspiring interviews, and music to connect you to your own spiritual energy. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this show that could transform your life.
Everyone, welcome to the Spiritual Engineering Show. We're here in sunny Colorado again. Talk about something that we don't talk about all the time. We're going to be a little bit about.
Welcome to Spiritual Engineering Radio, building extraordinary.
Sometimes things do not want to cooperate. That's the way the morning starts, but it's all right. As I said, this morning we want to be talking about grief. Patricia won't be joining us this morning, but I wanted to take a chance and talk about a topic that we all go through, we will all experience, and we don't generally have a lot of tools on how to get through grief. So going to talk a little bit about the spiritual engineering outlook and tools and techniques to handle grief, to walk through grief. Because no matter what we do in life, no matter how hard, how deeply we believe in God, what kind of a spiritual life we have, when we lose someone we love, we're going to hurt. We're going to cry. We're going to mourn. And so we're going to talk about the healthy aspects of grief, how to go through the pain of grief and not succumb to misery, those feelings of self-pity, blame, recrimination, those things that do nothing to help us with the mourning process. Also going to separate this into two parts, since there's two very distinct types of grief. There's the grief that we experience when we go through the loss of a loved one, death, something like that, when we lose someone we love due to death. That when we lose someone we love of what I call a living loss, a divorce, a separation, isolation, it's still grief, but it's a different type. So we're going to look at both types in the next 2 weeks, the grief due to death of a loved one and grief due to living loss of a loved one. And we will start with the grief that we experience when we lose someone we love to death. And as I said, this is something that happens to all of us. When we love people, we become vulnerable to pain. Loving extends herself. Loving opens us up. And that makes us hurt more when we do lose someone. But we can change and understand a little bit more about death. We can have a few more tools on how to get through this, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. I'd like to take this chance to give Cosmic Citizen thanks for allowing us to do this show. Today's show is a half hour long. We've been changing them. If you've been listening, some have been an hour, some a half hour. We try to have a guest. We're trying to have some up-and-coming artists in, some people who are using their spirituality for their art, their spirituality to help people. We try to talk to them. We do that. We have an hour show. And when we're just discussing some topics that we hope people are interested in, we cut the show to a half hour. So today's a half hour, and we'll be talking about grief. But again, I would like to thank Cosmic Citizen for this opportunity. As I said, when we love people, we become vulnerable. We become vulnerable to pain because we're going to lose people. And grief is like so many things. We learn about it by experience. We experience it We make a mistake with how we handle it, or we do something right, and we learn. I have lost 7 brothers and sisters. I have lost my mother. My father committed suicide. I lost my 19-year-old stepdaughter that I love very dearly in a car accident. And I lost a wife to cancer. So when it talks about losing people and grief on how to get through it, that's the experience part of what I talk about. I made mistakes many times on how I could go through these things and learn how to process things and learn what steps I could take, because there's a difference. When I talked before about as we live life and in relationships, we have pain and we have misery. Life gives us pain, but misery is optional. Pain is the thing like we hear, we go through and we go through the grief. That's pain. Misery is the anger, the low self-pity, the low self-esteem, the guilt, all those negative feelings that do nothing to add to our quality of life. They just take it away. They just decrease the quality of life and take us down. So we will experience pain as we go through grief, but we don't have to succumb to that misery. We don't have to fall into that place where we blame somebody or blame God or get angry or get upset or stay angry. We might be angry for a while because of what happened. That's natural. That's part of the grief cycle. But how long we stay in that, how long we stay in these feelings is a key factor. We need tools to move on. As I said, sometimes life hurts. You know, and when we lose somebody, we may experience a number of different things. So let's start and look at some of the things that we do experience. What might we experience? Well, again, we have physical, mental, and spiritual areas of our life. And we're going to have physical, mental, and spiritual reactions. Of course, as we've learned, when we have the mental and the spiritual reaction, these things combine to give us feelings. They give us our emotions. So we're going to have a wide range of emotional reactions to grief, too, when we lose someone. So to start with, physically, there's many things that we can experience. We're going to look at what we can experience, and we're going to look at the 3 different arenas and see what we can do, how we can use each one of these life arenas, the physical, mental, and spiritual life arena, to help us get through this process. But again, back to what reactions can I expect? Well, physically, I may not be able to sleep. I may not want to eat. I may want to eat too much. I may be having terrible anxiety attacks. I may have a lot of different physical reactions. I may cry all of a sudden for no reason. I may feel embarrassed. I may undergo a number of these physical things. Mentally, the same thing. I can have a wide range of mental reactions. I can find it hard to balance a checkbook, hard to focus, hard to think. My mind will stay constantly on the person I lost. I will look at the what if this would have been different? Should I have done this? What if I had done that? I'll look at all these things with my mind. So the mental life arena will give me a lot of different reactions. I may be finding myself very peaceful one moment and starting to get a little bit of peace of mind, rest, and all of a sudden, again, back to crying. I may find it very hard to focus on things, because I'll start to focus and my mind will go back to a memory. My mind will go someplace. And some of this is okay and some of it can be harmful. My spiritual state, I may blame God. I may say, why did you let this happen? How did you let this happen? Did you cause this? So physically, mentally, and spiritually, we are going to have reactions. And that's what we learned, that this is all natural. It's all normal. These are reactions. But as we experience these, we can use that level of our higher self, that level of personality unification. We can have that integrity where we can start to bring these 3 life arenas. We can start to harness them and bring them back to to that unified personality. See, our object in going through grief is not to avoid the pain, not to avoid the mourning. We don't want to do that. But we want to experience that pain, to feel that pain, and then move beyond it. And as long as we blame other people, we blame God, we blame ourselves for the death of a loved one, we can't do this. As long as we stay deep in anger, we stay wrapped up in blame, we can't do this. We become bogged down in this. And when we succumb to these feelings of misery, that's when we have danger of experiencing this too long, getting tied down in it and not being able to move on with life. So what can we do about moving on with life? How do we know when is the right time? I would suggest that for me, when I've lost people I love dearly, I know I have to hurt. I know I have to go through these things. But I have to be very careful of not succumbing to that misery. So I become very aware of the misery of life and see if I am buying into that. I become very aware of the fact that misery includes anger, guilt, low self-esteem, blame, resentment, includes all these negative feelings. And when I see these feelings crop up in me, I have to realize and think about, okay, how long have I had these? How deep do I feel them? How much am I letting them upset me? And as I move through this process of grief, a few days, a few weeks, these feelings are going to be natural. But then, as this time passes, they should subside, they should decrease and become less and less. Again, we have physical, mental, and spiritual resources, powers, energy that we can bring to bear and move these, move beyond these. So we want to look and see, how can we move beyond these different things? How can we move beyond this feeling when we've actually lost somebody that we love so dearly? Well, we're going to talk about that in just a second. We're going to take a short break and we're going to come back and look at how do we move beyond these things. What do we do? How can we get to the point that we really experience the pain but don't come and let it find itself? Help me. God doesn't take people he receives them. God does not cause pain. He alleviates misery. God doesn't give us problems. He gives us solutions. And something about death. Death is an interruption, not the end of a relationship. It's a comma, not a period. See, I really believe in eternity. I believe that we have an eternal life out there ahead of us, an eternal destiny. And if I believe in eternity, it makes this short 60, 70, 80 years here on this planet less important. Of course it's important while we're going through it. Of course it is. But it's not as important because I believe that God put us on this planet. One of the things we're supposed to do is learn how to love people. And when we learn to love people, when we start to love, when we love the best that we can here as human beings, we are just getting a fraction of that way to love and of what we need to love, how we need to love. So if God gives us this objective of learning to love, and those that we just started on this planet, it's just common sense, it's just logical that we'll have an opportunity to continue that love. We'll have an opportunity to develop that relationship. We'll have an opportunity to get as much of that relationship as we need to get our fulfillment of love and to give that fulfillment of love to the other person. So I really believe that death is an interruption. It's a comma, not a period. We will have the opportunity to rejoin and carry on with that relationship until we have fulfilled love in that relationship the way our Creator intends us to love. When we have a wonderful relationship like that and death interrupts it, I don't believe that God is going to allow that potential to build love to be interrupted. We're going to get the chance to build that love. So we start to look at this death as a comma, not a period, in this relationship. That helps quite a bit. But again, we have this spiritual side of life. We have to learn that God doesn't take people, that he receives them, that it's a whole different way of looking at it. It's not a punishment. It's something, it's just part of life that happens. Quite often death comes from disease or something that happens in nature. It comes from an accident. It comes from just some person being in the wrong place at the wrong time, a person making a bad choice or somebody else's choice, made a choice that interfered with the life of somebody that we love. And we have to accept that. So we pray for that acceptance. We pray to be able to accept what happened just as it happened. We learn to look at this as a whole different attitude, a different way of seeing death. But then how do we process this? How do we move through it? Like I said, we have physical, mental, and spiritual resources to move through this. Let's look at a few of the physical resources that we have. In physical side of us, what can we do? When our mind is overwhelmed with grief, when we're crying and when we're hurting, what can we do physically? Not to ignore that, but to process through that and to slowly move to where we can recover from this mourning. I suggest in the physical side, we learn to take a walk. When we're inside the house and we're doing something that overwhelms us, we take a walk. We get out in nature. And when we do this, then we use the other parts of our nature. We make ourselves see something that we're grateful for. We make ourselves see something that we're thankful for. We see the flowers. We see the sunshine. We are grateful for the fact that we can walk. We can breathe. We can see the air. We can see the blue sky. We become grateful for these small things. And as this feeling of gratitude, it takes practice, 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 and start to utilize and our minds and our bodies and everything to be a little bit grateful. We're not going to feel overwhelmingly grateful, but we can feel that little bit of gratitude. It's the physical side. The other thing that we can do physically is pick up a book and read it. And so hard with times like this to keep our mind focused. But we can try. We can try something spiritual. We can put on a CD and listen to it. And again, our mind is going to jump from that, what we're hearing, back to the person we lost. The pain, the hole in us. And see, when we lose someone, we really do have a hole in us. Something's missing. There's a void that we have to fill. So we look at these physical things with which we can fill this void. A spiritual CD, something that relaxes us, something that shifts our thinking. Because, see, this thinking, this thinker, this mind of ours is the key, as it is in life, as it is in everything. It is the key on how we move through grief. This thinker, this mind of ours can get us bogged down, can put blame on us, can say, oh, you should have done this, you should have done that, you should, you know, all these things. And so we have to be very conscious of our mind and how we're thinking. Just one thing, a quick aside from this, one of the things that's helped me and I found help other people is when we lose someone. We think of that person we love, that person we've lost, and we really stop and honestly say, what would that person want for me if the roles were reversed? What would that person want for me if I had died? Or what would I want for them? What would I want for them, I would say, if I had died? And they were still here. If I loved them, how would I want them to react? Would I want them to get so bogged down in mourning and depression and sadness that they could not move on with their life? Or would I want them to express their love for me and feel that pain and go through that pain and then pick up their life and go on? If I loved them, what would I really want for them? Well, see, of course, I want them to move on. I don't want them to stay stuck in the misery, stuck in the pain, wallow in the self-pity, wallow in the hurt. I want them to have a life and move on. And so somebody that loves me, I'm quite sure, feels the same way. They don't want me to be stuck in this. They want me to move on. So how do I do it? Again, physical, mental, and spiritual resources. We have three sources of power that we can bring to bear. Three things that we can make happen, three things that we can do. The physical side we've looked at, we have those physical things that we can do that we can hopefully start to shift. One of the other physical things that we can do is write a gratitude list. We can write down 10 things for which we're grateful. And when we do that, as we do that, our attitude starts to shift. Any time in life when we're down, any time when things are bothering us, when the world becomes so, so overwhelming, we can sit down and write this gratitude list. Not think about what we're grateful for. Actually write it out on paper. It makes a difference. This is the physical catharsis that somehow brings healing. As we write those 10 things that we're grateful for, our mind will start to shift. And again, our mind is the key. Our thinking will start to shift. Our attitude will shift. And at first, it may only shift a little bit and for a short time. But as we practice this and do it over and over, we will slowly retrain our mind to look at what's good, the grateful part of life, instead of what we're missing. So the other thing I want to mention, one more physical thing we can do, and these all overlap between the physical and the mental. We can go work in the soup kitchen, and that is one of the best things that I found to do. When my wife passed away and I knew Christmas and Thanksgiving were coming up, the first Thanksgiving, I knew it was going to be hard. Sitting in that house by myself, not having Thanksgiving dinner, all those thoughts and everything. So I went to the Salvation Army and served at a soup kitchen. And that was one of the best things I've ever done. That's the physical things that we can do. And one more physical thing is get a pet. If you don't have a pet, get a pet. A dog or something takes its responsibility. And a dog, a puppy, is always running around getting into things. It makes us think of other things. We have to get out in nature and walk. We should. And so having a puppy, having something like this, helps us shift. It's physical things, but the objective is to shift our thinking. Again, because our thinking is the key. We can use the spiritual resources that we have to help shift this thinking too. As I said, with our mind itself, with our mental resources, we can make the choices and decisions to do something different. We can make the choices and decisions to know that we are going to hurt, that we've got a big hole inside of us, and we want to move on with life. We don't want to be a burden to somebody because we're carrying an excessive amount of guilt or mourning. We know we need to hurt and to cry and to go through that process and then move on. Slowly, progressively, move back to life and start experiencing life. The spiritual part of us can be a tremendous asset. We have an infinite reservoir of spiritual power inside each and every one of us. And we can again access that spiritual power. Pray, pray, pray. Pray for God to receive that person. Pray for God to let you know that that person is going to be all right in eternity, to accept the fact that you will rejoin that relationship. Pray for God to give you the peace of mind and the healing balm to heal your soul and quiet that troubled mind that we experience at times like this. Pray for acceptance. Pray for peace of mind. Pray for a direction in life. If you've done something that you absolutely feel horrible about, that person, you know, that you, oh, I wish I'd have said this. I really should have said this. I really should have told them how sorry I am. Oh, I wish I would have told them how much I love them. Whatever. Sometimes we have these things that just seem overwhelming. If you have something like that, another suggestion, write a letter. Write a letter to God to tell that person how you feel. Tell that person exactly what you want to say. Then take a quiet moment. Offer that letter to God to give to that person. Read that letter to God and tell God that you would like that message delivered to that person. Whether we believe this works or not, it's not important. Whether we believe that God will do this is not nearly as important as the action of taking this. It's a catharsis. It's a relief when we can voice this and know that we have done the best we could. Then burn that letter. Throw that letter away. Burn it. And know that you have done all that you can do. There's so many things that we feel and experience when we lose somebody we love, but we realize we do have physical, mental, and spiritual resources to bring to bear. Three different types. And anybody knows that you can solve a problem, solve a challenge, overcome adversity better with three resources of power and energy and direction than you can with one or two. Learn to combine these resources, to unify these resources. Learn to use each and every part of the physical, mental, and spiritual parts of life to focus on overcoming this adversity. Now, this we've talked about is that time due to death, a loss of a loved one due to death, and that does leave a hole in our heart. I've offered some suggestions. Some of these, again, is spiritual engineering. Spiritual-engineering.com, spiritualengineering.com. This is from spiritual engineering, a very practical spirituality, because we look at the physical, mental, and spiritual side, how to unify those, and how to let each one function in the way it's meant to function. We don't ignore the pain of death. We have to learn to move through that, to experience it and move through it. We offer a different perspective on death. The fact that death is a comma, not a period in a relationship. That it's an interruption and not the end. We will rejoin that relationship and have a chance, an opportunity to fulfill that love. So spiritual engineering offers a little bit different way of doing it. And part of it, like it does, comes from psychology, the grief process. And much more of this is in the book of spiritual engineering, but how to apply this, how to see and recognize the grief process, how to move through that. One of the other things that I've got to mention this is that next week we'll be talking about grief due to a living loss, the loss of a divorce, a separation, this type of loss. Many of the tools are the same, but quite a few of them are different. You're going to find that a living loss can be more difficult to overcome than a loss due to death. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. Spiritual Engineering, again, thanking Cosmic Citizen.
Thank you for experiencing Spiritual Engineering Radio. To connect with your show hosts, Thomas and Patricia Strausser, please visit www.spiritual-engineering.com. Spiritual Engineering Radio, building extraordinary relationships for the 21st century.